Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more movie and nostalgia podcasts, visit cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Welcome to Wistful Thinking, the podcast where we revisit pop culture from our youth to see if it's as good all grown up. I'm Jordan Poland Clark. With me is my co-host, Kira Gail O'Regan.
Hello.
And today we're joined by High School Slumber Party's Brian Rodriguez. Hello.
Thank you for having me once again on one of favorite shows, Wistful Thinking.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So today we watched another witch movie because it's still October. We're super into witches. I'm way more into these witches than I was the other witches.
Same.
We watched The Craft from 1996, which is a movie about, I'm going to try real hard to do the plot, which I always mean to write down and absolutely never do. It is a movie about a high school student named Sarah who moves to Los Angeles.
Played by Robin Tunney.
Yep.
Who was in Empire Records.
Mm-hmm. And she had to wear a wig in this because her head was still shaved from Empire Records.
That wig
is not great.
So bad.
It's not great.
It's one of the worst wigs.
It's a bad wig. But she was also in another high school film.
Which one?
Which I'll be covering soon. When does this episode come out?
This episode comes out
who knows?
On October 18th.
Okay, so in about a month, you'll see another Robin Tunney movie, Encino Man.
Oh my God, I forgot she's in Encino Man. I love that movie so
Absolutely.
Much. It's one, like, it holds a very special place in my heart. Sorry. Anyway, we got sidetracked. What were you talking about, Jordan?
Okay, so I was trying to say the plot of The Craft.
Sorry.
So, Robin Tunney plays a character named Sarah, who moves to San Francisco. Nope, she moves to Los Angeles from San Francisco after trying to kill herself? Question mark? I don't really know when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to have happened relatively recently.
Yeah, and so she moves there with her dad and her stepmom and goes to a Catholic school, question mark?
Yes. Yeah.
Where we find out, or where she meets three other students who are witches, and she's a witch, and she completes, like, she's like the fourth. They've been, like, waiting for her. They become super powerful together. It's pretty cool for a while, and then they get kind of crazy.
Shit gets dark.
And then we'll get into that. Yeah. Did I miss any important plot points?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We did get into the movie before.
I know. Okay. We have some other things to discuss before.
We have some other business to attend to here at the top of the show.
Housekeeping, if you will.
Housekeeping,
as other
if you will.
Podcasts call it.
Last week, you may have noticed something a little extra in your Wistful Thinking podcast feed. We, with Brian's help, have come up with a fun and hilarious game called What Am I Chewing? Which we were doing off mic for a few times, and then we realized, like, hey, wait a minute, this should for sure be recorded for a podcast. So we're putting them out on our off weeks, and it's exactly what it sounds like. We eat something, and then whoever else is there tries to guess what it is. But it is actually a lot more fun and hilarious than it sounds.
I asked a few friends, so the first episode came out on the day that we're recording this episode. And I was like, y'all gotta listen to this and, like, tell me if it's any good or not, because, like, I can't tell. But we really like playing it, so we're gonna keep doing it.
It is extremely fun and delicious, so you can't go wrong with that.
And as the contractually obligated co-creator, I fully endorse your episodes. I haven't heard it yet, but I can't wait. I got the little goodie come straight to my phone because I am a subscriber, as anyone listening right now should be a subscriber. And I really can't wait. So very excited for this new project.
Listen, play along.
Yeah, it's super fun. Some other things. We have a important election coming up on, do you guys know what day it is? Oh, shit.
Wow.
Okay, listen, I'm going to go, when it's the day, I'll know, you know, it's on my calendar. It's just off the top of my head. I'm not great with numbers. On November 6th,
yes.
In the United States, we are having a critical midterm election. If you are still able to register to vote in your state, you should. Hopefully you are already registered to vote. And y'all motherfuckers better go out there and vote on November 6th, because I'm going to lose my mind. And also, while we're talking about things that people should definitely do for all of our sakes, get a flu shot if you can, because it protects immunocompromised people like me and many of the people that I care about from, you know, getting the flu, which might kill us. So wow. Please do that. Yeah.
Wait, so I don't mean to sound ignorant. So it's...
No, please ask questions.
I'm someone, and we can get into it today because this is one of the scariest parts of this movie. I am somebody who is afraid of needles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's, you know, and a lot of people are, and that really, it's scary and it sucks.
Do flu shots hurt?
Well, I don't think so. And in general, like saying do flu shots hurt, it depends on which shot you're getting. There's actually like a couple different ones. I think the one that's standard at this point is like a quadrivalent vaccine. And that's just, I don't know, this is like science-y stuff that I don't know that much about, but I'm just like, give me all of the valence, please. Give me all of it. But the thing is, over the years, the needles that they use have really advanced a lot. So it's a very small needle. And this year, I barely felt it. Like, I have, but at the same time, I do have like a crazy high pain tolerance. So I'm probably the wrong person to ask. But, you know, the needles these days are so much smaller than they used to be and so much less painful than they used to be. So, you know, if you can, they're being offered in most commercial pharmacies. I walked into Walgreens and got one on a Friday night. And a lot of insurances are covering them with a $0 copay. So please, if you can, and not everyone can, you know, whether it's because they don't have insurance or they don't, you know, they don't have like a place that they can go and get one, or some people with other types of broken immune systems can't get vaccines. It's important that as many people as they can get one, so that it contributes to herd immunity, which protects people like me.
No one's ever told me that before. That's very interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm full of flu shot facts. So if you have any other questions.
I do have questions. Because okay. One of the biggest things that I hear, well, not biggest, one of the most frequent questions I hear about flu shots is, am I going to get the flu from the flu shot? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That keeps a lot of people away.
Yeah, and that's a good question because a lot of people do have some mild to moderate flu-like symptoms after they get a flu shot. And what that is your immune system reacting to the flu shot. It's saying like, oh, we see this pathogen. Maybe we recognize this pathogen or we recognize something similar to it because we've had it in the past, but it's making antibodies. Again, this is like complicated stuff that like I don't know all of the details on, so I like might get some of this wrong, but your immune system is making antibodies, and that immune system activity, you might get aches, you might get a really mild fever, you might get a headache, that sort of thing. And it's different person to person. People, you know, it depends on how, like, if you've had the flu shot in the past, and, you know, if you've had the flu in the past, and stuff like that, can all kind of factor into that, which is actually why I do it usually on a Friday afternoon or a Friday night, so that, like, if I don't feel great the next day or for a few days after, I at least have the weekend to recover. But you're not getting the flu. You're getting a dead virus. And it's just, because actually the symptoms that you get when you do get the flu, those body pains and aches and stuff, like that's mostly immune system activity, like reacting to the virus and not the virus itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm learning here. This is great.
Good.
I feel like these are frequently asked questions I hear.
They are frequently asked questions, and a lot of times they're like dismissed really casually, you know, like, oh, you don't get the, like, nothing happens, it's fine, like, you know, but some people do have a physical reaction to it, and, it, you know, if people are allergic to eggs, and like other like contraindications. Like I said, not everyone can get the flu shot, or they might have a serious reaction. It's whatever it is going to be significantly less bad than getting the flu. And it's not 100% protection. You may still get the flu, but theoretically it will be a less severe version of it. These things are complicated and the viruses change really quickly. So it's not you may still get the flu, but it's just an important part of public health, to try and keep that managed. This year actually was the 100th anniversary of the Spanish flu of 1918, which killed more people than World War I and World War II combined in 4 months.
Horrifying.
So crazy to think about. Whenever I see that, it's like, what? How did that happen?
Well, I mean, again, it's very complicated. I can recommend a really great book called Pale Rider. I forget who wrote it, but I loved it so much, and it was this really great in-depth kind of historical excavation of how did this happen and why did this happen and that sort of thing. So it's if you're interested in history and you're interested in learning more about influenza and outbreaks in general, it's a really good book.
You should host a podcast on sickness and health.
I should, right? It's crazy. Go check out my old podcast, In Sickness and in Health. So many of the people that I've had on that show are people that benefit from herd immunity, whether it's because they have, a weakened immune system or people who have autoimmune diseases, maybe they're on immunosuppressants, or people who have cancer. They are particularly susceptible to the flu. My immune system is just an angry asshole, and it overreacts to things. So if I do get sick, I wind up getting a lot sicker than a normal person would. And it's really hard for me to recover from, it's important to try and not get the flu as much as possible. If you're already sick with something, it can wind up being really dangerous. And people, hundreds, thousands maybe, of people die every year from the flu. And it's not just infants and, super elderly people, which I think is the perception. People of all ages die, and different flus kind of can affect different populations differently. That flu of 1918, one of the reasons that it was so deadly is because young, strong people actually were particularly susceptible to that flu. And I forget why, but that's why it was able to penetrate or one of the reasons why it was able to penetrate the population so deeply.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I definitely
have talked about this for way too long, but do you have any other questions?
No, I don't. I'm going to definitely check out this book because that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's real good. October, not just a month for registering to vote and flu shots, but also a month for horror movies and fun Halloween things. Have you guys watched any good horror movies or anything this month?
No, I've done a terrible job.
That's unfortunate.
I have one goal before October's over, and it's that I want to watch Hereditary.
Okay.
Everyone keeps recommending this film.
That's why I want to watch it.
I'm not a horror movie guy, and I mentioned this on my podcast about how a lot of high school films are a lot of horror films are high school films.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something I was never exposed to. And so I ask a lot of people, especially this month, what's the number one horror movie you recommend? Everyone's saying Hereditary.
Oh, interesting. I haven't seen it. I don't actually want to see it. But
Hi.
I saw one... Didn't I say this to you already?
Probably.
I saw one gif of... what's her name? The lead actress that's in that, who's so good, and I can't remember her name.
Yep, I can think of exactly what she looks
okay.
like.
Okay, well, I saw, one gif of her, screaming at her children, and it was, a little too much
for me.
Toni Collette. And I was okay, I don't think I can see this movie. So, yeah.
I'll watch it one
day. I want to watch that, and then I want to watch, one old campy horror movie.
Yeah.
that I haven't seen, though. Like, I've seen a lot of them.
I just saw Halloween for my podcast for the first time, front to back.
Yeah, how was that?
I liked it. It was cool. But, like...
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Then, you know, Joey and I got in this debate, both off podcast and on podcast, because, well, Michael Manzi suggested I do a film called Jason X, that apparently is a high school film about Jason and space.
Of the Friday the 13th.
Yeah, and I'm like...
I kind of remember when that one was out.
And I was like, this is why I don't watch horror films, because you're telling me that I have to watch a high school film that takes place in space with somebody who just came from hell.
Does that not sound fun to you?
Yeah, that sounds like a really good time, like, actually.
And not only, it's a horror movie, I just don't get and it's it. In space.
I just don't understand. I need to be indoctrinated a little bit more, but
yeah.
So far,
yeah,
so far,
that might be good. Like, it's too many things at once, you know?
No, but see, that's like, so I haven't seen that one. But, like, that's the kind of creativity that I can really get on board with, like, in a horror movie, you know? Like, because, like, they're not... Okay, no movie is real. This is a dumb sentence I'm about to say. No movie is
real.
That's
not true, Jordan. But, like, horror... We both talked about eighth grade, and we both felt real with that.
That was very real. Right, so to me, like, horror movies are, like, the exact opposite of that, you know? Like, they exist to be as absurd as possible and to exploit our feelings as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, I can get on board with, like, some absurdity.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If it's done well. Or if it's done really badly,
yeah,
also.
That's also fun sometimes. But I don't know. There's, like... a mix of different kinds of horror. Like, some horror movies are supposed to be, like, as absurd as possible. The other day, though, I watched The Witch, which I think came out last year or the year before.
Oh, I've seen that. A few years ago.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. It wasn't as scary as, like, people had been like, oh my god, it's, like, so fucking scary. And I was like,
it wasn't.
This is not that scary. I think it's, like, one of those, like, a lot of horror movies that are set, like, in nature, like, really rely on being like, ooh, aren't the woods scary? And that doesn't really work on me.
But when's the last time you watched Blair Witch Project?
I have not seen that recently. I do want to watch it, but all that, like, shaky cam's going to make me vomit.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
I hear that.
I have a hard time with... I find found footage movies, like, as conceptually really interesting, but I just, like, physically have a hard time watching them.
Yeah. I saw it a couple years ago. It was still pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Because, like, I guess I'm going to take back something that I just said. The reason Blair Witch is scary is because you're like, oh, this could happen to me. Like, I could definitely accidentally get lost in the woods. Like, probably there won't be any, like, supernatural things happening there. But even just, like, when they're getting lost in the woods and they're fighting with each other, it is so stressful.
Yeah. That's why I never go into the woods with other people. Only do it alone. No, I'm just kidding. That's actually really dangerous, and I know I shouldn't do it, but I do all the time. I actually have seen some really great ones. To your desire to watch something, like, older and campier, I saw a screening of a movie called Straitjacket, starring Joan Crawford, which was incredible. It's maybe more of a thriller than a horror movie, but she's... Her and her eyebrows in that movie are just...
You sent me a picture of her eyebrows.
And it wasn't even, like, a great angle for the brows. They really should, like, get their own credit for the movie. That was really interesting. It's about this woman who, in a crime of passion, chopped off her husband's head when she found him in bed with another woman. and she, like, goes to prison, or, like, to a insane asylum or whatever for 20 years, and then she gets paroled and, like, is sent to live with her daughter so that they can reconnect, and some strange things happen after that. And I really enjoyed it. It was, like, at three different points I was like, this is not the movie I thought I was watching. And it had...
I love when that happens.
Yeah, right? Well, sometimes that's not a good thing. But it had a twist ending that I, like, didn't see coming at all. So... that was super fun. And then just two other ones that I want to talk about real quickly that I watched were Jennifer's Body, which came out in 2009 and is So 2009.
Is that Diablo Cody?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So written and directed by a woman. It was directed by Karin Kusama. And it was like restorative watching that. It just was complete. Like, it's incredible how, because I've been watching so many horror movies and like a lot of the classics and stuff, like horror is a genre where many of the movies actually do have a female protagonist, which is nice, but so often they are written and directed by men and have a very male gaze to them. And, well, so,
and the protagonist exists solely to get tortured in some way and perhaps murdered.
Yeah. Yeah. True. And I found Jennifer's Body just like extremely refreshing.
How much annoying Diablo Cody dialogue is in it?
So that's my only...
That's why I've never seen it.
It was my only bone to pick with it. But it's not... It's nowhere near as much as, like, Juno.
Okay.
But I think also it's, like, maybe the dialogue isn't as... It's definitely not as funny as Juno, but it is still, like, really funny.
Nothing scares me more, speaking of scary stuff, than doing Juno for my podcast.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Because I loved Juno when it came out, and I'm so afraid of
And you don't
want to
revisit
dialogue.
It. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
But I think we'll be covering Jennifer's Body as well. So.
Well, it is a delight. I highly recommend it. I think it's my favorite movie that I've watched so far, like, in my Halloween horror...
Ever?
...marathon. No, just, like, in the past, like, month or so that I've been watching a bunch of horror movies. Were you at Joey's when we watched Demons? The one that was, like, in the movie theater?
Yes, that was when Pretzelgate was taking place.
Pretzelgate?
Okay. We're not going to get into that right now.
No, I don't feel like talking about the pretzel situation anymore, but please, Jordan, ask around.
I'll tell you about it later.
Okay. It's been popping up on a lot of Cage Club podcasts, network podcasts. You can probably put the clues together if you listen to all of them, but just... Off air, Kara, you can tell Jordan the story. It was a really big deal. That continues. Well, at least up to last week it continued, right? Or like early this week. Pretzelgate.
But anyway, we watched a great movie. It was made by Italians, like in Germany, but it was in English. It was weird, but it was great.
All those movies he was playing were great, and these are movies like I was never, ever, ever exposed to, so...
Yeah. Well, they were all, like, foreign films, and, like, it was foreign, like, horror from the 80s, specifically. They were really good.
Maybe I'm just gonna, like, quit life this weekend and, like, watch a bunch of horror movies.
That is what I've been doing, and it's,
good?
It's
okay,
great.
Maybe that's what I'll do.
I didn't get to quit life, but I'm, like, doing it elsewhere. I can send you a good list.
Yeah.
I did watch Practical Magic again, which is, like, not a horror movie, but I do love it so much. And then the last thing that I want to talk about, and then we can get into The Craft, because I think it is directly related, is I actually bought a physical copy of The Rage, Carrie 2, which came out in 1999, a sequel to...
Okay, I, like, want to say I saw that in theaters?
Yeah.
I saw
the original Carrie. Yeah.
I think maybe I did also. Well, remind me what happens in The Rage Carrie 2.
So another movie that is so of its time, like it's so 1999. I enjoyed that aspect of it so much. Like one of them has like in their locker they have a picture of Marilyn Manson, the cover of a Hole CD. And a picture of Fiona Apple, and I was like, yes,
wait,
this is great.
Separate but related to what you just said, if somebody told you in 1999 that 20 years later Marilyn Manson would still be, like, a popular touring artist, would you, like, what would you have said to them?
I would have been like, great, cool.
Like, that's kind of
I was, like, pretty
shocking.
Into Marilyn Manson. Yeah, what? No, I don't think so.
I think it's kind of shocking. Whatever. I'm also very, I'm on board with it. But
is he a popular touring artist still?
Yes. My friend is going to a music festival in New Orleans in a couple weeks, and Marilyn Manson's totally playing at it. And he's, like, on tour all the time. Like, he's still a thing. That's all I mean.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would have thought that, like, maybe he'd have a different shtick by now, and he definitely should, but what would it be?
How do you change your shtick from that?
Like a crooner.
I don't know. It's just, and I felt this way about Trent Reznor, too, with Nine Inch Nails. Like, really, like, you're just going to be the dark, angry guy for the rest of your life. Okay, cool.
I feel like I'm not going to do this justice, but I feel like I've read about him talking about that a little, and it's actually super interesting.
Yeah.
Well, he does scores, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, like, it's...
Yeah, it's whatever. I just, like, and, you know, as a former teen goth myself, who is now an adult, almost goth, like, it's not about, like, the gothness of it. It's, like, the level of anger, you know? Right. That's what I mean.
Because, like, you're not, yeah, you can't, if you're, like, 50 and that's the anger that's still inside of you, like, that's, like, it definitely shouldn't be manifesting itself that way anymore, and also, like, you have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, you know, people want to hear the hits, and you got to give the people what they want, so.
Yeah, man. They started playing A Perfect Drug live, and there's a video of it, and it was like, I'll just watch this and see, and I was so into it.
Yeah. Apparently they're incredible live.
I'm thinking about going to see them.
I would, but they use a lot of flashing lights in their show. Mm-hmm. And also, I can't really go to concerts because they're too loud in general. Anyway. So, The Rage Carrie 2. What happens is, well, the main character is not named Carrie. She's named Rachel. But she, it turns out that she is Carrie's half-sister, so mm-hmm. they share a father. So she's, you know, a goth teen high school kid whose best friend is played by Mina Suvari, which I didn't realize was in this. And this friend hooks up with this guy, played by Zachary Ty Bryant of Home Improvement, the eldest son.
Yep.
And she's, like, really excited about it, and then it turns out that, like, these guys on the football team have this, like, book where they're gamified sleeping with women and, like, assigned points to them. And so, like, everyone that they're hooking up with is not... It's, which shares a very kind of close thread with The Craft, I mm-hmm. think. A similar situation where the guy's all charming and then they have sex and then it's, like... Oh, he has no idea who you are, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Treats you very cruelly afterward, which is shitty. Don't do that. But anyway. And she finds this out. And then she jumps off the roof of the high school, which I didn't love. And they didn't do that very well. Like, they didn't handle that very sensitively. But, I don't know. Rachel figures out that, like, the reason that she tried to kill her, or did kill herself, And she winds up hooking up with one of the other football player guys, but, like, he seems different, of course. And then it turns, and she has, like, the telekinesis thing, and then, like, the popular kids set her up at this party for, like, not the same as, like, in the original Carrie with the pig's blood and everything, but a very, like, Y2K version of that, which is that... they had secretly taped her having sex with this guy.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that.
And
were, like, broadcasting it on these, like, huge screens. Yeah. And, like, forcing her to watch it and showing her the book and, like, all the points that these different
this
women
have gotten. This is, like, a very dark American Pie.
Yeah.
There are a lot of, like, similar things.
That's so interesting.
And it came out the same year, so I thought that was interesting.
Wow. That,
that's a completely different lens.
But it's, like, the same movie.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Wow.
And it's, like, it's so of its time. It's, like I said, it's, like, so 1999, but at the same time, these themes are, like, so 2018, like, so current, too, because she was, like, working with the guidance counselor and the DA and stuff, and they were actually going to file statutory rape charges against Zachary Ty Bryan's character because Mina Suvari's character was only 16 and he was 18, and all of these girls had, like, been devastated by this behavior and had been, like, coming to the guidance counselor. Like, she says, like, I've had 5 girls crying in my office in the last week because of this stuff. So they were actually going to file charges against him. And then his shithead dad comes in and is like, well, if he's going down, so is the rest of the football team, because we have proof and blah, 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 blah. And they want the football team to win the big game, so they all get away with it.
Ew.
But that's before the party scene. Okay.
And then she just, like, kills everybody. Yes.
And then she kills everyone, yeah.
I'm sorry, did you mention this, but is this just a spiritual sequel to Carrie, or is she somehow related to Carrie?
Oh, no, this is, it's called The Rage, Carrie 2.
But is she, like, Carrie's daughter? Or like...
No, she's her half-sister. They share a father.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
And it was directed by a woman.
They feel, like, fundamentally different in a way. Like, the gaze, of course, is fundamentally different. And it, like, it's such a shame that more women have not historically been able to direct horror movies. A lot of women directors have gotten their start in horror, but, like, by the numbers, the same way with all movies, women have not gotten the opportunity to direct horror movies, when I think there's this, like, vast well to draw on in, like, new and different ways that, like, have not been explored.
Well, and we'll get there.
Hopefully.
And we will. I'm excited for it.
Which brings us to The Craft. Which, like I said on the last episode, when we were talking about how this was a movie that we were going to do, that the last time I watched this, which was, like, last Halloween, it was striking to me how powerful these girls were. And, like, at the same time that I, like, looked at the IMDb page and saw, like, written, directed, produced, all by men, and it, like, changed it a little bit for me. I don't know. How did you feel watching this,
Jordan? I was thinking about that the whole time that I was watching this. I think that if more women had been involved in making this, the characters would have, throughout the movie, been more nuanced and interesting. And I think that there are parts where these characters seem like they could be full humans.
They don't quite get there.
But they don't quite get there. And some of them actually don't. Like Bonnie and Rachel, is that her name? No, that's her real name, is Rachel True. What's her name in the movie?
Yeah.
Like, definitely they give her the least to do.
Yeah, and she is awesome. I
know. I
love her.
Like,
she's so,
like,
good.
You really can see, like, there are really strong parts for
Rochelle.
For Nancy.
Rochelle, yeah.
Rochelle, mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's really strong parts for Nancy, where you can almost see her as a complex human being, and the same,
yeah, you see,
and
her
the
home
same
life,
for Sarah.
You see.
But they really don't let the other two have that, and they really don't let anyone else in the movie have that either. And that's what I think a woman's gaze would bring to this.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if there's, like, room for it, you know, that, like, you have these two kind of big characters taking up a lot of space. But, yeah. Brian, what did you think?
That, I feel like that happens a lot in these kind of, when they're, people like to have 4 characters, and there's always 2 that they flesh out, and 2, like, other accessories.
Yeah.
So
Sorry to interrupt, but here's what I kept thinking. Think about, like, Mean Girls, right? Like, it's a movie that has a ton of characters, and, you know, I'm not saying they're perfect characters, but they do all have something a little more to them than is given to most characters. And not to make that a gender thing, like male versus female, but I think women tend to do a better job at that. I don't know. Continue.
I mean, I don't know if they do or don't. You're right, though. A lot of movies just do it better. This is not the best written movie with characters. But there's so many movies that just throw out like the second two people. And it's a shame. Yeah. I love ensemble films. Like, ensemble films are my favorite type of films. If I had to have a dream film podcast, it would be like a group of sisters on Thanksgiving, you know, and how they react to that. Like, as simple and boring as that is, like, I love that. Yeah. Like, balanced characters. And this is not a movie with that, but I mean, I think they try with, like, oh, she's on the swim team, you know?
Yeah, but that's so lazy. Oh, shit, we didn't give her anything to do. Okay, she's a diver.
Yeah, Bonnie has bad skin. Like, right? Like,
which, I mean, that whole, like, storyline with her disfigurement, I'm just gonna say, like, that was problematic, but also I don't really want to get into, like, all of the reasons why. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, like, just because, like, a lot of times we wind up talking about mm-hmm. disability representation in various films. So I don't want to, like, let that go unacknowledged.
I also think, like, it tried to address a lot of things. Like, it put a lot of things in this movie that you don't see in a ton of movies, or high school movies, maybe even. Like, so, because there's, like, more than one instance of mental illness. There's... her scars. There's racism in this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't handle any of it well, but it's all there. They tried. They tried, I guess.
Yeah, they tried. They did try. And, like, also, I fucking love this movie, by the way. We kind of, like, jumped into the criticism, but, like, I still really like this movie a lot. And it was, like, really also extremely important to me as a teen goth and aspiring witch.
Brian, did you see this movie when you were young, like as a teenager?
I have seen this movie a couple times, right? And I've never really paid attention until this time. And this time I actually enjoyed it most. But what I was going to say is, like, I see a lot of high school films, and believe it or not, it's silly how it tries and fails, but I'm just, like, really happy that it even tries, because you don't see that a lot. Sad, but true. Oh, by the way, like, I think in descending order, in terms of, like, characters fleshed out, it just, like, goes from, like, the top two to eventually just, like, nothing. Like, everybody else in this movie is, like, nothing in terms of... The guy who... Chris Hooker?
Skeet Ulrich?
His name is Skeet?
In real life, yeah.
You don't know who Skeet Ulrich is?
What is he from? I don't know.
Scream.
Oh my goodness. He was in
you're
Scream.
Right.
He is Johnny Depp.
He's Bobo Johnny Depp. That's who he is. But he's better, because I feel like he's doing a lot better than Johnny Depp right
he's
now.
He's less shitty. He was on this post-apocalyptic show from the early aughts called Jericho that I really liked.
And he's in Riverdale now.
Yeah.
Which everyone's
he
talking about.
He plays Jughead's dad.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Now I
remember. You guys, I've already told you this 100 times, but watch Riverdale because it's so good.
Okay. But, like, his character kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. Breckin Meyer's character is even worse.
But this was, like, the time when Breckin Meyer...
Two very enthusiastic
This was, like, the time when he was in everything, though.
I love Breckin
Meyer.
But he's,
like, this is him at his worst.
Yeah, but also, like, at the same time, like, at his Breckin Meyer-ish, I feel like, you know, he's that Travis character from Clueless, like, turned up a few notches with, like, asshole sauce all over him.
Yeah. Asshole version of him that's seen less.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. No, but I really, like, I enjoyed it, this film, on this watch, so much. And I think, again, it's because I've been seeing a lot of high school films. And this is, like, a really good high school film. It's not a really good film. It's not, like, perfect like that.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, high school genre and, like, what year is this, 96?
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, wow. Like, I'm... Watch other high school films from 96, and you're like, okay, this is one of the better ones by far.
Here's what I like. Here's what feels very high school to me about this. Is, like, you have these women who, like, are becoming insanely powerful, and...
I swear I got a contact high, like, just from their power in this movie. Like, and not, like, the, like, witchy power, but just... Like, them walking down the hallway, like, doing that high school
like
movie.
Slow-mo.
Like,
yeah.
Slow-mo thing, where I was just, like, And I wrote it down in all caps, to have this much power as a teen girl. Like, it is, like, electrifying to me.
Yes.
Just because, like, I felt so unbelievably powerless as a teen girl, you know?
Did you, guys saw it as teenagers?
Yeah. I mean, most girls our age, like, watched this.
Yeah, so I got into this movie because I was super into Charmed, which came out like a couple years after
one of the songs from
TV show
as the theme song.
Yeah, well, apparently in 2017, the director of this, Andrew Fleming, stated that Charmed actually ripped off this film. He revealed that he actually wrote a pilot based on the movie for Fox, which the WB was also strongly interested in, and it was actually his idea to have that exact version of How Soon Is Now as the title theme. And the pilot was not picked up. And the following year, Charmed premiered. Furthermore, Robin Tunney stated that the ripoff was, quote, completely obvious to the point that people would think that I was on Charmed
really?
For years after.
I've watched Charmed recently, and it's not the same as this at all.
No.
And also, they couldn't get the rights to that song, so they had to replace it with, like, some dumb knockoff when they re-released it. It's sad. It's disappointing.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, that sucks. Because that's actually, like, one of my favorite versions of that song. Originally by the Smiths. This soundtrack is so good.
So good.
I watched this with the captions on, as I usually do.
Yeah,
and
same,
so
same.
It would, like, say the title and the artist of the song every time it came on.
Yeah.
And, like, at a certain...
Not all captions do
this
that,
one,
but
this
good
one
captions
did. This was
do
on
that.
Amazon. But it became, like, it felt like a joke. But like halfway through, because like every like it was like you didn't even try to like branch out, you just like only chose songs that were about witches and magic.
Not only because I took a picture of the screen with Robin Tunney standing in the hallway like with like an ugh look on her face, and then the caption said Susie and the Banshees, sick child playing, and I was like, this, I want this framed on my wall.
Guess
I
what
Susie
I'm doing right now,
downloading the soundtrack.
Even better. I'm on Amazon.
Whoa!
On vinyl.
Nice.
Proceed to checkout. Yes.
Okay, but here's
Continue, I'm sorry.
Powers and the way they use their powers as teenage girls, women, I don't know, somewhere in between. You can hear with the magic that they're doing that their intentions are good. They often talk about things like, make me beautiful on the inside, or like, they're wishing good things for other people. But then the second thing that they say is always a real snot teenage girl wish. Like make me pretty, or like, make the boy like me. Which is so, that's what made it really high school for me. It's like, and really accurate to 17-year-olds, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. I thought you were going to, like,
no, it felt, like, really accurate. It's like they wanted to do something good, and then they also wanted something that was kind of selfish, and they fucked up because they're 17.
Very true.
Also, they were all, like, 30.
Well, it's a high school movie. One of the tropes of high school movies is that everyone's 30.
Very true.
But I excerpted part of an essay that was on Rookie, which is a wonderful site/magazine.
I have that open
for
right now.
Teen girls, and I didn't.
I don't know. It's making my computer
who wrote
freeze,
it?
Actually. My computer really doesn't like that I have it open, but I'll try to tell you. Probably.
Maybe it's cursed.
Ooh, spooky.
Well, you look for that. I'm going to read this excerpt because it covers it, like the essay in general is about how like history of the occult a lot of times and like how it's viewed by the larger society has been shaped by general fear and mistrust of young women. And it talks a lot about like this kind of interesting power dynamic. Before there was the craft, there were the Salem witch trials, which basically started because the young girls of a town were engaging in unearthly demonic behavior, such as screaming and throwing things. You know, the sort of thing you'd never do as a 12-year-old, especially not if you were stuck in the freezing cold Puritan settlement where the funnest activity was churning butter. Their parents took a quick look, were like, clearly Satan has done this, and promptly went about slaughtering half the town. I will note here, this is me editorializing, that there was a not great racial component to the Salem witch trials with Tituba and racism. I can't really get into that right now. I just wanted to acknowledge that before going on. And also that there's a weird racist dynamic with how we talk about witches and witchcraft and the history thereof. But anyway, in the 20th century, Annalise Michel had an epileptic, mentally ill girl who started to have seizures and hear voices at 16. She died of starvation and dehydration because her parents chose to hire exorcists instead of getting her to a hospital. They were convicted of manslaughter, but her grave is still visited by people who believe she was possessed, and thanks to two or three pseudo-biopics, Annalise's story has become a central part of the disturbing pop culture tradition of movies about young girls or teens who are possessed by Satan. Oh, and by the way, do you have a poltergeist? Check again. Many people who believe in ghosts believe that the presence of a teenage girl in the house attracts malevolent spirits who feed off their burgeoning sexiness and intense girly emotions. All of this is typical girl fear. Once you realize that The Exorcist is essentially the story of a 12-year-old who starts cussing, masturbating, and disobeying her mother, in other words, going through puberty, it becomes apparent to the feminist-minded viewer why two adult men are called in to slap her around for much of the third act. People are convinced that something spooky is going on with girls, that once they reach a certain age, they lose their adorable innocence and start tapping into something powerful and forbidden. Little girls are sugar and spice, but women are just plain scary. And the moment a girl becomes a woman is the moment you fear her most. Again, me editorializing. The Witch, I think, deals with this really well. That movie that I was talking about before. I continue. Which explains why the culture keeps telling the story, but it doesn't explain why girls are drawn to it, or why we would be compelled to play it out, even if it's goofiest and Firouza bulkiest incarnation.
She's incredible in this.
She's so good in this. Why is the Ouija board inevitably brought to the sleepover, in spite of the fact that every single session brings on pants-peeing levels of terror? Why did at least one girl in 1999 claim that she had been converted to a whole new religion by watching Charmed and Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Sorry.
Okay. No, that is
the
hilarious.
Sabrina part is like...
Yeah. Yeah, and then the author puts in parentheses, Melissa Joan Hart has played many roles, but I am of the opinion that spiritual counselor should not be one of them. Why can I, to this day, read your tarot cards and explain in some great detail the importance of your sun sign as compared to your ascendant? Well, note the differences between these stories. When one girl gets possessed by Satan, she is smacked and yelled at by the grown-ups until the evil leaves her. But in stories about witches that made girls actually want to do and be magic, The Craft, Charmed, Buffy, the power comes in some essential way from being together. And together is what we were, or what we tried to be, in a time that we thought we were magic. Isn't that nice? I didn't actually finish the essay. I didn't finish reading because I was like, I'm going to leave it there. That's a nice thought.
I just laugh because, you know, it would be very hilarious if, like, everything I said in the previous paragraphs, I do not believe Sabrina the Teenage Witch is the greatest thing of all time. They're making a new one, right?
Which I am so excited for.
It's like of the Riverdale Elk.
Yeah, Elk. I think it's the same producers and stuff. And I was, like, a little hesitant when it was first announced, but I just enjoy Riverdale so much that I am totally here for it. And the trailer looks pretty cool. Did that excerpt bring up anything for either?
It sounds true. I really liked in this movie how they... So I think two things. I think that if this was written and directed by a woman, the friendships would have been better explored. It would be more interesting. Not that it's uninteresting. Yeah. It's just...
Yeah, I think it would have been really interesting to, like, set it at an all-girls school.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, that's a boarding
school
or something.
Like, yes, there are men in this movie, because, like, we find out that Nancy had a relationship, maybe, or something with Chris, and he was shitty to her, mm-hmm. so she hates him, and really calls him out on his shit in a way that I was, like, super pumped about, like, right away. Mm-hmm. She's like, don't fucking talk to that guy, he's the worst, and she's right. But then, like, Sarah puts a love spell on him, and he gets all rapey and, like, super not cool. But, like, that really feels very much like a subplot. Like, for a movie mm-hmm. that's about four teenage girls, this is very much a movie that is about those four teenage girls, and it's not about the dudes in their lives. Except for that one, yeah, that one true. Part. Which, like, seems like the appropriate amount, you know? Like, they're not... Even mm-hmm. when Bonnie gets... Well, Bonnie was always hot, because she always looked like Nev Campbell, who's a very attractive person. Yeah.
That, oh my god. I was like, wait, what?
But, like, so...
I was so confused.
She's, like, all covered up in the beginning of the movie. Like, you know, wearing, like, long-sleeve shirts and stuff. And then she starts, like, showing skin when her scars go away, because she wants to. Even then, like, she's not using, like, her pride in her appearance and her, like, exploring, like, kind of her sexuality. She's not really using it to hook up with dudes. She's using it to, like, mess around with them and then just, like, leave
That's
them,
true.
You know? Like, it seems like it's a fun game for her, but she's not, like, so worried about, like, getting a boyfriend or, like, having sex. Like, she's not super worried about any of that. At least not, she's not talking mm-hmm. about it. So, like, that was cool. It, like, really was just a yeah. movie that was about them and their friendship in a lot of ways.
Also, Nancy pulls a reverse Frankenfurter on Skeet Ulrich.
She what?
This is a term that I just coined while watching this movie, a reverse Frankenfurter, which if you think back to the Rocky Horror Picture uh-huh. Show, Dr. Frankenfurter sneaks into the bed of both Brad uh-huh. and Janet disguised mm-hmm. as their respective other, and Nancy disguises herself with magic as Robin Tunney's character, whose name I can never remember. Sarah, and, like, gets, like, starts hooking up with Skeet Ulrich, and it was like, ha ha, JK, it's actually me. Which is not okay. Like, that's not an okay thing to do, but it did kind of make me laugh.
What's her name's in this too, right? Christine Taylor?
Yeah.
Who that?
The blonde girl, Ben Stiller's wife. She was in Hey Dude.
Oh, did Marcia Brady.
Yeah, she was Marcia Brady, that's the other thing. Did y'all watch Hey Dude?
Oh, yeah.
She's in Hey Dude.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. I haven't seen Hey Dude since it was on.
I definitely watched some of it on YouTube recently.
Wow. Yeah, you're right.
The note that I took was racist asshole bitch ass Martha Brady.
And
then, whoa, she's worse than I even thought.
Did you feel bad for her? So here's the thing that I feel conflicted about in this. Is like both... So she loses all her hair, and mm-hmm. Skeet Ulrich loses his mind because he's under this love spell that he can't control. And it's like, you almost start to feel bad for them. Should we?
I
did a little. And then I was like, no, ew, no.
No, I mean, I, at the same time, I think, was, like, projecting some of my own feelings about those kind of kids, like, in high school onto these specific characters, you know? And, like, just didn't, like, can't find empathy mm-hmm. for them, like, in this situation. Mm-hmm. Just because they are... awful, like, before this
really
stuff
awful.
Starts to happen to them. And, like, sure, they... I mean, Skeet Ulrich definitely doesn't deserve to die, for sure. But, you know, he sucks. And, you know, as soon as he tries to rape Robin Tunney, I'm like, you deserve everything that's coming to you.
Well, I was a little conflicted because, like, the characters didn't know why that was happening to them, so...
Yeah.
It's not like, again, I don't remember the Christine Taylor's character name, but she's not like, oh, I'm losing my hair because I'm a mean person.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know? It just was just happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she even says, why is this happening
well, and
to
even,
me?
And even Chris is like, I don't know what happened, I just woke up one day and I was like this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I did fantasize a few times in high school about putting Nair in people's shampoo.
Wow.
But I would never actually do that.
No, you would use magic.
Right, because the Nair thing is like logistically impossible, especially, you know, we didn't have to take showers in our high school, so it would be hard.
Does anybody have to take showers in high school? Because we didn't either. School. Okay.
Only the swim team and the wrestling team.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And that was it.
Gross.
Something else about Christine Taylor, I didn't know. Okay, so this is 96, and she's a high schooler. But in 1997, she's like on an arc on the show Friends.
She was on Friends?
Yeah, she like dated Ross while Rachel was broke up.
Ugh.
But regardless.
Why would anyone ever date Ross?
And she was named Bonnie. And then she shaves her head.
And she also was bald.
Yep.
Interesting.
I was like, what? Sometimes I think just these producers just like watch shit and like, oh, she's been bald in this.
Yeah.
Let me just cast her here. So, yeah, I don't know. Something that came across while I was watching it that's completely unrelated to anything.
Did either of you ever go to Catholic school? Yeah, me
neither. I technically did in college. I went to St. John's University.
Yeah. Did you have to go to Mass?
No, we did not. The only thing we had to do was religious education. Like the first year. No, okay. We had to take 3 classes of religion.
Oh, that's so many.
No, but only one had to be Catholic.
Yeah.
And then the rest, so it was fine. I took Women in Religion, and that was a very fun class, so I can't complain.
That sounds interesting.
Yes, and that was fun. So, like, there was a wide array of classes, but it's not like we had to wear uniforms in college or anything.
Yeah. No, it was just the scene where they're going to Mass. I'm like, oh, my God. I briefly almost went to Catholic school after my freshman year because I hated my school so much. And I, like, went and spent a day at a Catholic school near me. And, like, the whole day I was like, this is pretty cool. You, like, don't have to decide what you're going to wear in the morning. Like, whatever, this is fine. And then I got to, like, the 9th period religion class, and I was like, oh, yeah, no thanks. This is not for me. So, dodged a bullet.
I used to go to the church in college, but that was for a couple reasons. One, they knew what time to put Mass at because it was 6 p.m. on Sunday.
All right, that's reasonable.
So no one would wake up. Two, it was because it was like they made it the cool place to meet girls. So I think it's like the opposite of what probably the intention of church, but it was like a young people's meetup. So, and
well, no, because I think that they do want you to meet and get married and make more Catholic babies.
I guess you're right. I didn't think about that. It's almost like an Olympic Village of Catholicism.
But with no condoms.
No condoms. I recently did the movie Saved for my podcast.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Very underrated.
So yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's one that a lot of people have not like mentioned or seen lately that I really think they should because it does translate well to this time. But yeah, it's always weird, right? Like, cause if you go to public school your whole life, it's weird to think about like a religious component of high school. But I feel like most kids I know who went to, like, Catholic school, that part was, like, largely ignored.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it seems also largely ignored in this school as well.
Well, like, who are there, I mean, where we're from, people don't go to Catholic school because they're religious, generally.
I think some parents.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think it's a parental thing, usually.
That's but true, not, though. The kids aren't like, I'm really into this.
No, no, no. But I don't think that's true of any school. Well, not any school, because there's a lot of... Well, we're really going to a weird topic, but... Yeah,
I live
in a city, and there are a lot of great, like, public schools that you can apply for that have different, like... not majors, that's a bad way to put it, but, like...
Themes.
Like, there's a heart...
No,
themes,
that's like, in a movie, it would be a theme. Like focuses. Like, you can choose
focuses,
to focus on something specific at those schools.
There's a school at the Met. There's a school, like, in the harbor.
Really?
Yeah. There's a school in the harbor, and you just have school, like, on a boat.
What?
And and it's, like, really cool, like, stuff, and it's public school. Again, you got to take, like, tests to get in and show, like, a genuine interest and interview.
Yeah, I had several friends that went to LaGuardia, which is, like, the arts
school.
Oh,
yeah. We'll be covering Fame on my podcast, which takes place there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know how we got on that topic, but it made me think of just Catholic school in general.
Different kinds of school. Yeah. Well, the other reason that I just decided not to go to the Catholic school was that their art program was like nothing. Mm-hmm. We were lucky to have really wonderful art teachers at my public school, but at the Catholic school, they were like way more focused on academics. I was not.
You have to say there are not many, like, there. It's not something you hear, right? Like Catholic schools having good art programs,
which is insane, right? Like the Catholic Church is probably the largest benefactor of art in human
history.
That's
a really good point. Like they should encourage that more. That's interesting.
But I think also like to encourage art in the 21st century is to encourage dissent, you know. And maybe that's always been true, but I know that like art, we tend to be rebels, you know. Don't really fit in very well with the whole Catholic thing.
Not related, but can I read you the description of Jason X from the internet?
Yes, please.
Okay. The year is 2455. The place is Old Earth. Once the shimmering blue jewel of the galaxy, Old Earth is now a contaminated planet, abandoned for centuries. Yet humans have returned to the deadly place that they once fled, not to live, but to research the ancient rustling artifacts of the bygone civilizations that caused this environmental disaster. And little does the most recent landing party of intrepid young explorers realize the fate that awaits them.
This is so my shit. I'm going to have to see this.
I want to watch it.
Yeah, we should do like a Facebook Live or something. And like do like a thing where we watch it together. I don't know. How do people do it? Whatever. It's fine.
The legend of this is growing. Like, because it's been mentioned in a couple podcasts now. So it's definitely going to be a big event now, Jason X, much to my chagrin.
Yeah. Are you planning to actually see it? Or do you feel like you need to do a lot more groundwork on basic horror first?
Probably, but no, that'll probably be a big event I'll do for my podcast now. And just because how the legend's growing and how ridiculous that sounds.
That sounds great. That, like, has all of my favorite things in it. Because I don't know about the rest of the franchise. I've seen, like, bits, and, like, part of what I'm doing is, like, going back and just watching a lot of the old, like, horror classics, especially of, like, the 70s and 80s. Because, like, I've seen parts of things, or I've seen, like, different installments and different franchises, and I don't know that I've, like, actually seen, like, the important ones or whatever, or, like, the first one. So I just went back and watched the first two Friday the 13th, and I think the first one is actually one of my favorite horror movies.
I always mix them all up. Which one is that, first one?
So that, the first one, they're at Camp Crystal Lake, and, can I talk about it without, like, totally spoiling it?
No, you don't have to. Friday...
But, like, the killer is not who you think it is.
Oh, okay, yeah. I actually don't think I've ever seen that. And then there's Halloween, wonderful, which is Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm-hmm. Also, just watch the first
one
of that.
And then there's the one with the dreams.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Okay,
also
I mix
that.
Three of those up. I think I've seen all three of them.
Apparently, those are, like, the three slasher, you know, kings or whatever. Jason, mm-hmm, Freddy, and Michael Myers.
Yeah.
So there's a shot at the end of the first Friday the 13th that I think it's worth watching the entire movie just for this one gorgeous shot of the girl in a canoe, like all dazed that she's survived this thing, and she's just floating on the lake, and they clearly were filming at a different time of year than when it's set in, because the leaves are starting to turn, but it's just, like, so beautiful because they're, like, reflected on the lake, and I love it. That's good. Also, filmed in New Jersey at Camp Nobby Bosco in Blairstown, New Jersey. It's, like, out in western New Jersey, Blairstown.
So we've been we discussed this a little bit on my Halloween episode, but I've been discussing this, like, further. So that's, you know, filmed in New Jersey, right? Then you have Haddonfield, Ohio. Haddonfield, Indiana, where Halloween takes place, is named after Haddonfield, New Jersey.
Oh, really? Because I was wondering about that. I was like, is this taking place in New Jersey, too?
Yeah, and the screenwriter was born in Haddonfield, New Jersey. And then it was,
oh, okay, cool.
And then right next to Haddonfield, New Jersey, the neighboring town, is Voorhees.
Oh, okay.
I don't get it, but that's it's so weird.
Well, we're living in the Matrix. That's why.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Can we go back onto the topic of the craft for a second? Because I want to talk about the ending. I feel like I don't even want to get into all the problematic things with, like, Nancy, and I just don't even... Like, that's the four-hour version of this, and whatever.
Right.
But I really love at the end... the two sidekick girls come to Sarah and they're like, hey, we're really sorry we tried to kill you, and do you still have your powers? Because we don't have our powers anymore. And she does. But like, her response to them is like...
Yeah, what does she say? It's so good.
She says... they're like, oh, like, maybe, like, we could talk sometime. And she says, hold your breath until I call. Like, yeah. She just, like...
And her delivery of it is so...
No,
like, ice
shit
cold.
At the end of this, which is, like, exactly who I want her to be, you know?
Yeah.
And she's still, like, clearly a badass witch who's going to use her powers for good.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just, like, you can tell that, like, for her, she came out of this stronger and better in a way that's, like, super inspiring.
Yeah. And just, like... confident and you know, which is like, again, goes back to what I was saying before about, like, to have this much power as a teen girl, like, just to have even like a fraction of that kind of like confidence and self-knowledge,
right?
could have used that. I feel like maybe I just, like, on future watches of this movie, we'll just turn it off before the rape scene and just, like, end it there.
What happens right before that?
Oh, I don't even remember. I just, like, don't like how dark it gets, and I just want to, like, enjoy the fun parts of this movie, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually surprised. I never remembered that, and I was actually surprised that happened.
Oh, I wasn't.
Well, I know, which you've reminded me on many films, but I'm still always like, oh my god, I forgot that happened. Shame on me. But
well, I was actually, when I watched Carrie 2, I was surprised that that did not happen. I was like, you mean there's not going to be a rape in this movie? What? This is, you know, there's like all sorts of, and like technically, yes, there is statutory rape, but like, and there's all sorts of like boys behaving badly with regard to sexual activity, but no one even almost gets raped. It's great.
Yeah, I mean...
Sorry, yeah. It's like, we've seen so much of it recently, like, and it's like, refreshing when it doesn't happen.
But, like, your entire preface sentence is funny that's refreshing, like, it just...
Yeah.
People have a list, you know, they score points for different particular women. Refreshing.
Well, that part is not refreshing.
No, I know.
That part is to be expected, but, well, because when I, was like trying to think back on seeing the movie and reading like the description of it before I saw it, I like projected a rape into that story that I thought happened that did not, just because the combination of like what I remembered happening in the movie and all of the movies that I've ever seen and then also reading the description of it like made it sound like that might happen, but
gotcha.
It's just it's everywhere.
Something, I just remembered this now, and I've said this, I see it in a lot of high school films, we have a dead mother character, well, there's no character, but it just seems like most high school films are about a single parent,
a lot of them definitely are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in this case, her mother died during childbirth, which is an entire genre unto itself, so Sarah seems to be the only one of them that is a natural witch, you know, and the others are just kind of, like, leeching off of her power and, like, they're able to do, like, learn and do spells and stuff, but she's the only one that's, like, born with power, and the lady at the witch store tells her that her mother was also a witch. But she doesn't know this because her mother was not there to tell her, which is so sad.
I think that's pretty cool, though, that in this world of witchcraft, you can, like, learn it. You don't have to just be born into it.
Yeah. Yeah, and as a teen girl who's very, very interested in magic, that was very attractive.
What, like, would you have done with your magic?
Yeah, that's a good question.
God. I mean, what would I not have done with my magic?
Well, you're like,
if any of it
you
worked.
You said you didn't, you know, feel any remorse for the characters who are dying or losing their hair,
not...
so I can't...
Okay, remorse is the wrong word. What I said was that I did not have empathy for them. That's, like, a really big difference. But yeah, I would have fucked some shit up for sure.
Yeah, like, because I also wanted to be a witch. We all wanted to be witches. Like, yeah. for what? What were we trying to do?
Just to have any sort of power or, like, agency over, you know,
right.
what happened
That's
to us or whatever. Or have a talking cat. How great would that have been? Who needs friends when you have a talking cat? Also, I was, like, very... I really, really, I still want, like, powers of telekinesis because I don't want to have to, like, get up and refill my water bottle. That sounds very attractive to me. I'm trying to think, like, what else was...
No, I think you're right that it's just, like, if I have power, everything will be fixed.
Right.
It doesn't even matter what
we learned in
kind
this movie,
of power or what you're going to do with it.
Right. Yeah. I love, and this is, like, towards the beginning of the movie, beginning or maybe like second act, where like they take the bus somewhere to do magic in nature, and the bus driver is like, hey girls, watch out for the weirdos, and Nancy is like, we are the weirdos.
Yeah,
mister.
That's a great line.
Yeah, I have some quick witchcraft related facts. Actress Firouza Balk is or at least was a Wiccan in real life, so she was also able to help the filmmakers keep the storyline as, quote, realistic as they could, which I don't know about that, but she was able to give them Wicca contacts and help them in areas that she couldn't. But so this was, like, another thing about, like, the gender dynamic and how this movie was made. The deity or, like, the god energy, the, like, all energy, whatever thing that they are trying to channel in this movie, they refer to them as Manon and are using male pronouns for it. And I think, and I'm not
100%
sure.
Do they? Really? Yeah, I guess they do.
Yeah. Yeah, it, like, jumped out to me really quickly. Because, for one thing, I think that, like, Wicca, maybe, or, you know, other forms of witchcraft are often very, like, matriarchal,
yeah.
maybe? Like, that, like, it's usually, like, a goddess and not necessarily, like, a male deity. And also the name Manon is a common French woman's name. So, like, it was just weird. But the connection of this name to any deity or spirit is made up by the filmmakers. However, the film crew had to return to the beach location a second time to complete filming, which was interrupted by several weird occurrences that even caused witch consultant. What a job title. I would love to be a witch consultant when I grow up. Pat Devon to raise an eyebrow. As the fog rolled in at midnight, the four actresses used actual Wiccan rites and language to invoke powerful forces. Then, as Firouza Balk attempts to invoke the deity, Manon, a flock of bats hovered over the set and the tide rose dramatically, extinguishing the circle of candles. Which, how did they get those candles places? Did they have a rolling suitcase? There's so many candles. How did they get them there? Anyway, that was not part of what I was reading. I just lost my place. Okay, so, yeah, extinguish the circle of candles. Wiccan consultant Devon recalls that Manon, a fictitious creation for the film, sounds very close to Mananan, which is the Gaelic god of the sea. But she said, luckily, we weren't all swept out to sea. And, the director said that every time the girls started the ceremony, and only when they would start the ceremony, the waves would come up, like, super fast and, like, pounding really heavily. And that right when Nancy says her line, "Men all fill me," which, again, with that, like, language about filling them and, like, being in them, and that stood out to me as something, like, weird and gross. But right at that exact moment, they actually lost power on the set. Like, all of their generators went out. So, isn't that spooky? He also said that they sought a PG-13 rating and followed all the guidelines to earn that rating, but in the final outcome, they gave the MPAA rated it R because the film dealt with teenage girls using witchcraft, right? And, like, not the attempted rape, not the suicide
but they
stuff.
Didn't,
like,
well, it's, to be fair, I also read that. They don't know that for sure. They're guessing that.
No, I think, like, the MPAA, like, gives you a reason why. No?
I mean, I don't know. The thing I read was, like, it was the director being like, yeah, but also it's a girl witchcraft movie, so they just, like, gave it an R rating. It seemed, like, a little bit dramatic, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, do you guys have anything else?
I think it stuck with us because of a lot of the stuff we already talked about, and also just, like, Nancy was, like, just so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, again.
So powerful.
So powerful.
And so scary. Like that, and just, like, so everything.
And, you know, as a woman with a big tooth, big gummy smile, like, hey, look at her. She is terrifying sometimes.
I read part of an interview with Robin Tunney, who is, like, just talking about, like, how that this movie would be cast today. And, like, they're all gorgeous women, but they're not, like, they're not all, like, standard, like.
Except for Neve Campbell. I feel like she's pretty, like, conventionally beautiful.
But, like, and I mean, Robin Tunney was, like, and all of us were, like, short, where they're all, like, under 5'3", like, I don't know, just, like.
Oh, interesting. Jordan, you want to circus this shit?
It's not a whole show, though, and it's only because it's very related to something that I'm working on right now. But so, it's a craft triple trap act, which I'm sure you don't know what triple trap is.
I don't know what that means. Is it three people doing trapeze?
It's three trapezes. and as many people as you want.
Oh, wow.
But it works quite well with four people.
Interesting.
So, it's three trapezes all attached, though. They're, like, they're not hung separately. So it's, like, four ropes with three bars.
Like, stacked vertically?
No, the other way.
Horizontal.
Okay. Like a cross.
Yeah.
It's a triple trap act where it starts out and they're all, like, you know, it's the plot of the movie. They're all working together. It's, like, going really great. And then, like, shit starts to get messed up. Like, Nancy really loses it and, like, separates from the group and is, like, doing her own really crazy thing.
This sounds great.
Yeah.
Into it. Yeah.
But I could only come up with, like, a single act.
That's fine.
I couldn't
fine.
See
it
a whole show.
Yeah.
And also, like, I'm making a triple trap act right now, and that's the only reason why I was like, this is what it is. But, like, there's four of us, and there's four of them.
Yeah. Well, I feel like maybe you could do, like, a show that's, like, three one-act pieces adapting some of these movies. So, like if it were up to me, it would be The Craft, maybe The Rage Carrie 2, and, like, what's another good...
I would love that, yeah, and then, like,
late 90s, like, goth movie. Oh, The Crow, maybe.
but it would have, one, like, a theme. Oh, I really like that. Yeah. Like, it would just be a show inspired by... But I don't even... I think you could do the whole 90s. I don't think it only has to be the late 90s. Open it
well,
up a little.
Well, that just is... My, like, I have a specific fondness for that time frame because of my age. Yeah.
If you open it up a little more...
Ooh, Scream!
Yeah.
Scream would probably be good. Which came out the same year as this movie. I don't know if we mentioned that, did we? And also stars Skeet Ulrich and... Neve Campbell. Neve Campbell?
Neve? I think it's Neve.
Yeah. But, like, Neve, I've never, like, heard of Neve as a name outside of
her.
Her. But Niamh is like a really popular Irish name.
The Cell. Do you remember that movie? I'm looking up goth movies now.
Extremely vaguely.
It's
and should I watch
it's
that?
It's not a good movie, I don't think, but it's like
okay.
really stylized. It would make a really good like yeah. dancer circus act, I think.
Okay. Yeah. It has J-Lo in it, right?
Yeah. Kara, have you ever seen Lost Highway?
Lost. Is that David mm-hmm. Lynch? I think so.
It's on this
but
list of
definitely
goth
not in like at least a decade.
It's my favorite one. I don't. It's not the best
really?
One, but it's my favorite one, and yeah. it's pretty dark and weird.
Wait, which list are you looking at?
That's an IMDb list. It's called 55 okay. Goth Movies.
Crimson Peak. That is on my list of things that I want to watch this month. That's Guillermo del Toro. Interview with a Vampire. Yikes, that's a problematic movie. Hellraiser. I know I talked about that on the last movie, but I really liked that first one.
The Matrix.
Yeah, that's pretty yeah. goth.
All right, should we land the bus? Because now we're just reading the internet together.
That's how we.
It is how we end most of them. It's true.
Season of the Witch is on this one.
That movie's
a
not
Cage
good.
Movie. I have not seen it.
Don't. I
Maybe
watched
I'll,
it for Cage Club.
I'll listen to the Cage Club episode about
I
it.
I watched it for Cage Club and, like, could not get any part of it into my brain. So that yeah. when we recorded, I was like, I'm so sorry. I actually don't have anything to say about this.
That's really funny.
That's how bad it is.
Bram Stoker's Dracula, which I don't understand why. So this is the Coppola Dracula, which to me actually is the definitive Dracula. I love that one a lot. Also stars Winona Ryder. So go check out both the Keanu Club and the Winona Forever episodes at keechclub.me about Bram Stoker's Dracula. But why isn't it called Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula? Like it's an adaptation of the book, but like why is it still called Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Probably maybe because of some weird rights things.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm landing this bus.
Yeah.
Kara, got anything to plug?
Yeah. So I talked about Inktober before. You can see all of my drawings at BIMPS, BIMPSE.art on Instagram, or just my regular ass Instagram at BIMPS. I'm also at BIMPS on Twitter, and I am mostly sharing my Inktober drawings there too. So you can check that out, and check me out at cageclub.me/Kara to find all of my appearances on various Cage Club podcasts, including Brian's High School Slumber Party. If you want to leave us some comments, please do that, or email us, wistfulpod. I can't get this out.
Wistfulpod.
wistfulpod@gmail.com.
Yeah. I don't have much. You can follow me on Instagram, @JordoPC. That's it. We did it. Thanks for listening.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.
From the cradle bars comes a beckoning voice that sends spinning. You have no choice. Spinning. You have no choice, you hear laughter cracking through.